Bentornati tifosi napoletani to another edition of Noi Tifiamo Napoli. I'm your host, Rafa Rispo, alongside Daniel Russo. Dan, what's going on, my man?
How's it going, Rafa?
Well, could be better. Could really be
definitely
better.
Could be better.
Honestly, it was a wacky day of football today. It is Sunday night, April 14th, be sure to get your taxes done before tomorrow is over, which is tax day in the United States. And we had to wake up. I'm tired, Dan. I'm tired because we had to wake up early, 6:30 a.m. here. You know, I could imagine.
Telling me, man, I just woke up from a little nap.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. Like
I had to, man.
I had to
wake. Had a long day.
Yeah, I had to wake up early for the game, and then I barely got any sleep last night, and then I had to work a full day, grab some grub, and here we are, you know. But it was a wacky day of football, man. Really crazy. Like, obviously we're here to talk about Napoli, but I'd like to send our well wishes to Evan Nidica of Roma, who
yeah, definitely
collapsed on the pitch today, clutching his chest.
Really scary.
Yep, they had to rush him out of the pitch and into the back. He was holding his chest, seemed back, but then the next thing you know, you had De Rossi and Mancini rushing out to the back. I'm only speculating that things took a turn for the worse in the back. That's as I was watching it unfold. We were also watching Leverkusen celebrate their championship. They clinched Liga title for the first time in their 119-year history, and that was something. It was something to watch. Honestly,
insane
watching the pregame for that and watching, you know, that match unfold 5-0 to Leverkusen. I won a big bet on that too, Dan. So that was another reason why we're watching. But we've been watching Leverkusen all year. Like, ever since, you know, we realized how good a team they were and how they're unbeaten and all that stuff, we've been watching them. And it was nice to see. So the focus was on how that was happening. Ndika, you know, collapsed. And, you know, we turned our attention to that. And as far as I know, he's doing better in the hospital. He'll be there for more testing. The match was abandoned at 1-1 with 15 minutes left.
Does that mean that they even finish that, or is it too late to even finish?
Yeah, so that remains to be seen, I guess. As of now, it is you know, and I hate to tie betting into this, but I had a bet on that too, right? And I had a parlay on the game, you know, that game and a bunch of other games. And as it was happening, you know, the bet site that I use had marked it as finished, and I had bet Udinese or a draw. So it had finished and gave me a green check next to it. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, they're not playing this game. It's like, this is it. This is the final. However, it looks to me that they are going to finish the game. At some point, they're going to finish the last 15 minutes of the game, and I don't know how that happens.
I don't know. It just seems so unreasonable to get them all together for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you know?
But, yeah, but I mean, everyone
that's the
agreed
way they have to do it.
Everyone agreed to, you know, abandon the match and see what happens. I'm guessing that both Udinese, you know, Cioffi, and De Rossi with Roma, I'm guessing everyone's happy with the result if it stands that way. Like, I guess we just have to wait and see what the league says.
Yeah, I don't really even think they're thinking.
Yeah,
of it,
because you know, like I said, it had to have been really bad for, you know, them to decide to stop it. So, you know, prayers out to Ndika and his family, and hopefully everything is okay. You know, it's a really good. I think AS Roma English posted a picture of him sitting up in his bed with, you know, smiles and thumbs ups, and so that's good, right? But it's scary, man, because, you know, these things happen, and when it hits home, it's, you never mind the rivalries with Roma, never mind, you know, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Those things that happen like this makes you realize how irrelevant soccer really is. You know?
Okay, Dan, let's talk about that, and then we'll get into the game. But let's talk about that for a second, right? Because it's funny, right? And obviously, people's lives are more important than the game. But when people say things like that, like, is it really, though? like we do podcasts and we're fans and we don't really make money doing this thing, but like people live lives on football, you know, like people's lives depend on football, that they make money, you know. I don't mean to sound like, don't get me wrong, 100%, like when it comes to, you know, trivial bullshit, right? None of that stuff matters when there's lives involved. But, like, does football really take a backseat? Because, you know, they played right after they scooped Erickson up off the pitch. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I was even... I had such a big grudge against UEFA for that. Because how... The guy basically died on the field, you know? They took a however long of a break in between. I think it was like an hour long that they had to take.
Yeah.
And you make these guys go back on the field and play when they don't even know if their friend is okay, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember this. I think his name was Antonio Puerta. I don't remember his name.
Puerta,
the guy that played for Sevilla. When he passed away in 2007, the guy, you know, collapses on the field, he's resuscitated, they bring him to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital he dies, you know what I mean? So that's not even we're out of the woods, you know, if he wakes up on the field, you know? So that's right. Why, I think maybe today there was a little bit of that scare too, you know? They got him up, mm-hmm. and he was okay, he's saying he's okay,
it
but you
seemed
never
like
know,
it, right?
Really.
They were putting in his replacement, I thought, because, and again, you know, so we're at work, we're cutting. Leverkusen's won the title. They're storming the pitch. It was great scenes up there in Leverkusen. Congrats if you're a Leverkusen fan too, if you're listening. I doubt it, but but you know, we're kind of like, because we've got the two TVs, one on top of the other, and I'm looking down at the bottom screen where Roma was, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna, you know, they're replacing Ndika, they're gonna continue the game. Next thing you know, they're back converging and talking, and De Rossi's coming back from the back, like, with this, like, horrid, pale white face, you know, scared look on his face. And, you know, things can take a turn, you know. I wonder if, and this is speculation, I wonder if he felt the chest pains and was having, like, sort of a like an episode, and then went into a full-blown heart attack in the back. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're not out of the woods because you're off the pitch. It's true. And then the right thing was done today. Obviously, the referees left it up to the managers, who both agreed. You know, captains both agreed. Everybody agreed. And it was the right thing to do. But when we say things like, you know, football takes a backseat to players' lives, it's just football, these guys, that's how they make their money, and they're being forced to play all these games, you know. And I also don't want to blame it on all these games, because not everyone has a heart attack. These guys need to be made sure that they're okay, you know, like Ndika like, I'm not saying he should have done, I'm not saying he did anything wrong, but you know how all, most players wear those, like under the jersey, they look like sport bras, but they're for, you know, monitoring the heart. Right. I think it should be a requirement for everyone to wear. And if you're not wearing it, you're not playing.
Because, yeah, those things.
If Indika wasn't wearing it, you know, if Indika's wearing it, you know, you notice something.
They don't report anything in real time, those things. Because a lot of players on my team wear that.
Okay.
It's kind of just like a monitor that it like measures your heart rate, obviously. It's more of like mm-hmm. it's almost like an Apple Watch on your chest. You know what Got I mean? You. So like when you're running around, I mean, I don't know if maybe they have a little bit higher technology, but from what I've seen, at least, mm-hmm. Those aren't. That is a really good idea, though, that you're coming up with. You might have,
yeah,
like
I mean,
might have like $1 million idea right there. But
well, and to be honest with you, you know, even if it is, even so, right? I think they should be wearing it because if somebody can detect some sort of a stress or like
absolutely.
Sense of urgency, then you know they may be able to catch something before they, you know, it gets to an extreme measure, and you know whatever the case may be, you know,
no, because you know you have a guy that wears that all the time, the club goes and, you know, says yeah. hey, you know, like these yeah. games, like we detected a bit of an arrhythmia, what's going on here, then they'll go and do extra tests, and then they find something wrong. You know, you're right. That is something that definitely should be looked at. And I don't really know what's going on, because it seems as though, like, for the past 5-6 years, things like this are happening more. And it's probably due to the volume of games that these guys play. I'm sure it's directly linked to something like that, but obviously it can't be proven unless there's some scientific investigation that goes along with it, right? But
sure, and if you ask me, there's a correlation between the volume of matches played and, you know, one's, you know, underlying condition that no one finds out
right.
you know, about, because it's not like everyone's dropping. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
and I don't know if you remember this. It happened to Zielinski a little bit a few years ago, too.
It did. Remember that? Yes, I do.
Against Empoli.
I do remember that. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he. Thank God he took himself off when he felt something a little off. But, you know, it was scary. I remember being like, what the freak is going on over there? And it just seemed like they kind of carried on and didn't care. You know what I mean? That's there's also that, too. I guess they don't really take it serious enough yet. Or maybe they didn't take it serious enough yet back then, you know? That
right,
was 3-4 right. years ago, so.
You know who would be good for this would be Carmine Guadagnino from mm-hmm. Napoli Club Toronto. He on the rant, he was our resident medical student.
And oh,
would
yeah.
come in and give his prognosis or, you know, hypothesis on the situation. Maybe we'll get him in for a special at some point soon. But shout out to him. But anyway, you mentioned Empoli a few seasons ago. I'll bring that back up in a few because something happened against Empoli a few seasons ago, and then against Bologna last season happened today. And it has a lot to do with the outcome of today's match. But today, this morning, 6:30, we go into the match at the Maradona against Frosinone. Now, if you guys remember, we played Frosinone away for the first game of the season. You know, it was a big celebration, big get-together. Everybody was happy. Everybody was all, you know, ready to defend the title. We go down early. We score 3 more goals. After that, we cruise to a win. We win against Sassuolo the next week, 2 wins in a row, and then it was all downhill from there. Also, we were exited from the Coppa Italia at the Maradona in horrific fashion. 4-0 loss, one of the worst losses I've seen at the Maradona to that point. That was Frosinone's first ever win against Napoli. And today they take their first ever points away from Napoli. 2-2 is the result.
Pitiful.
We wake up at 6:30 a.m. once again, thinking that we're going to see something a little better.
We did for a good part of that game. I remember watching that first half fairly pleased. I don't even want to say pleased, because I was happy with the way that they were playing and the reaction that we got, but I was also kind of pissed that we only were up 1-0.
And I share those sentiments. I had shared that with the group chat, and if we had scored another goal or two, it would have been the perfect half. But we did play well. We really did. Let's get to the lineups though, quick. Medet started in net with Di Lorenzo, Rachmani. Ostigard took Juan Jesus' spot because of back sciatic issues. Mario Rui playing for the injured Oliveira. Anguissa, Lobotka, Zielinski is the midfield back from last week. And then Politano this time, except for besides Ngonge, because Ngonge was suspended for this one. Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia. Frosinone started with Turati and net, Lirola, Romagnoli, and Okoli in the back three. Valeri, Mazzitelli, Barrenechea, and Zortea in the midfield four. Bresciani and Soleil behind Walid Khedira. Napoli owned Walid Khedira, mind you. Also, Soleil, a target of Napoli's. First half was exciting. Like you mentioned, it was a good first half. Lot of chances. Lot of near Osimhen's shot right to Turati. We had a lot of opportunities to score. I think Kvaratskhelia was playing really well. It looked like Politano was giving his all. It looked like we were doing well. Zielinski was getting in there.
They were all really good. All really good. They were good all in playing really half. Well. I guess maybe the only guy I could get on is Osimhen, because honestly, at the end of that half, he probably should have had two goals. Especially the second chance, which really, really, oh man, I.
Oof, that one on one, was it?
I fail to understand how a player of his caliber can mess up that badly, and it's. Listen, if it's one time and it's a one-time thing, it's fine. But that's this season, he just looks so off, especially lately. He scored that header last week. Great. I'm very happy. I love watching him play. I love when he does stuff like that. But it's like, I just don't see a killer in him anymore, Last season, even the beginning of this season, if he goes through on goal like that, that's going in every time. He even did go through on goal like that against the Frosinone in the first game of the season. And it was like clockwork. It was a goal. You know what I mean? 100%. Where he was going. He slotted it in. Perfect. But I have to say, even when I saw him running up to the ball and running up to the goal, I almost knew deep down, this is not going in. It didn't seem as if he was ever, convinced in scoring, I don't know, man. I don't know what else to say about the guy, because you're making this money on this team, right? You wanted all this money. You got the money, right? I hate to keep bringing it back to the contract, but 10 million a year, you miss that. Against Frosinone, and we're in, this team is struggling. It's looking for somebody to drag it out of the mud. You know what I mean? You're the guy that has the talent to drag us out of the mud. You need to score that. As a player that's making double digit figures a year on a team that's never given that to anybody else ever in their history, you have to score that. And to not and miss it the way that you did is unacceptable. I'm sorry. It is.
I'm in agreement with you, obviously. It is sad, because Napoli could have been up, you know, they had two chances like right away. You know, there was also the Østergaard shot over the bar right after that. Not long after that, we would get our first goal. However, great strike once again from Politano, like another world class goal. Week after week, he cuts in off the flank, darts along the edge of the box, and just lifts a terrific finish past Turati. An assist by Di Lorenzo, putting Politano in that position. Just a good start to the game, right?
Yeah.
Anything on the goal? Any sort of insight?
I mean, absolutely tremendous trademark goal by Politano. I mean, these are shots that he's been trying all season, or at least since the renewal, and they haven't been going off at all. I mean, I don't know. I think I want to maybe revert back to what we said last week of how maybe not starting that game kind of gave him a kick in the ass, and he seems to have woken up because of it. Because today I thought he was excellent. Even in the second half, I thought he was excellent. The goal is beautiful, and I can't really say much about it because I mean it's one of those things. It's like you remember when Robin was around, where you knew what the guy wanted to do every single time, and you just still couldn't stop it.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of like that, you know. Like you knew it's obvious where Politano's gonna go, but he always has this. He has this knack of getting himself in that position all the time to have that shot. I wish he would convert it more, just like today. But
he started the season out really well,
right?
And then kind of faltered off.
Looked like freaking Robin in the beginning of the season.
Arjen Robin, yeah. Now it looks like he's kind of finding his stride again, maybe too late in the season.
Yeah.
It was a good goal. We're up 1-0.
Sorry, Raf. When you said that he's finding his stride, like this, I think that's the thing this season. You know, these guys, there's guys finding their stride, then there's other guys that are just in a whole nother universe that are just not even on the field with us right now. You know what I mean?
That's true.
This year we just can't seem to find our stride together. You know, either we have Osimhen scoring 6 goals in a week and then Politano is missing 6-yard sitters. You know what I mean? We got Coates putting the team on his back, but Osimhen can't put in a header in the 6-yard box. You know, we can't find a way to gel all together at the same time, and it's so frustrating.
When you're winning games and you're winning them in the manner of how we did sort of with Mazzari, late winners, lots of defense, you know, and then when you're winning like you used to win last season, right? And if you can count on one hand how many times we've won the way we played last season, that's not a good thing.
Terrible.
Because I can off the top of my head, I can think Sassuolo away, obviously. The Monza game from last week, you know, just the way we turned it up in the second half. Even though last week was very much the same thing we're doing this week, this year, where you know, you play great one half and you play like shit that's the other, or vice versa, right? I think that was the case today too. Like there's not a lot of games where Napoli are just dominant throughout the whole game. You know, we had such a great first half here. I was just going to say that there was another opportunity for Osimhen from a Medic goal kick. He runs, you know, unchecked onto the ball, and then Turati just does enough to force a striker to put it wide, you know, wide left. And it's like, dude, you need to score those goals, you know, because
I think that was what I was talking about before. That was the chance.
That was it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about the one where he shot right at him. But yeah, you know,
oh,
right.
I mean,
you're right.
that one and was then, was important too, of course. But the right, like you said, you need to score that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm at a loss. I don't
you
know.
You have a penalty to Frosinone. Rachmani terrible on defense again.
Oh my god! All it is against him, just put it in the air. Just put it in the air. Doesn't matter if it's at him, if it's just a little bit above him, a little below him. He lags. He the connection goes out. You know.
Mm-hmm. He gets booked for it, so he's gonna miss the game next week against. I believe it's Verona next week. No, is it?
Empoli next week.
Yeah. So no Rachmani for Empoli, which could be a blessing.
Thank God.
In disguise. But Frosinone gets a penalty, and up steps Matias Soleil. This was good for me, the way this played out, because I so FFE bets with Marco Cubani. He posted a bet, but I did my own as well. Like, I play that bet, but I always play that bet to see how it goes. But I played my own too, and one of the bets was Kvara shot on target, Soleil shot on target. Kvara had taken a shot on target not long before the penalty call. And that's where Soleil steps up and takes a, the penalty and gets the shot on target, but it's saved by Meret. But to be fair, it was a really poorly taken penalty.
Oh, horrendous
by
penalty.
Soleil. Yeah. A little disappointing knowing that we are after him. But obviously, I'll take the save and the clean sheet at the time, right? Like I was happy that we saved it, but then I'm like, you know, wasn't too impressed with Soleil today, you know, in the end. But either way, we saved the penalty, and we're off the hook for just a little bit. We go into the half up 1-0. We come out of the half, and it doesn't take long, 5 minutes, and this is where I get fuming, okay? And I know that Meret is a decent shot stopper. I know that he's a decent saver of shots, right?
Yeah.
Got okay reflexes, but this aspect of his game is poor, and don't know why we're playing the way we are. Or he continues to, you know, blunder these short balls from playing out in the back. Like, it's one thing if you're going to play out in the back from the back, but do it the right way. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's down to management or down to what have you, because we did not really play like that last season. Like, he made mistakes before with Spalletti, and that's what I was going to allude to, the Empoli game from two seasons ago where we lost the Scudetto by his mistakes. Last season, Bologna, he gave up like one of the only blunders he gave up all season long. But it led to a potential, you know, drop points, and then Osimhen had to bail us out. And now this, right? It's just so infuriating when you've got a goalkeeper who all you need to do is pass it to a teammate who you've got surrounded by, right. And you can't even get the ball past Soleil, who's standing right in front of you. It's like one of those FIFA things where
it was so amateur, Rafa, and I'll tell you why. Goalkeepers, even defenders, because I used to play defense all the time. I was a center back, and I was taught this at a very young age. You want to clear the ball, guess where you're putting that? Where are you clearing it, Rafa? Where you want to clear it? To the sides, right? If you want to go straight, you better make sure that there's absolutely nobody in front of you that could possibly pick that off. You know?
How do you not see him in front of
you? You got a guy right in front of you, right there. There's not even a thing like, oh, you know what? He came from the side. It's possible that he didn't see him, right? right in front of you. That is so, that's like dilettante type of mistake.
I mean, to me, that's not, it's not coaching. That's not coaching.
That's not something you can coach. You have to just know that as a player of his I don't even want to say caliber because I never thought he was that great of a goalie anyway, but of that stature, I guess, playing for Napoli, being a Campione d'Italia, right?
Scudetto winner, yeah.
A Scudetto winner, you know.
And on the short list for, you know, being called up for the national team for the Euros, right? You know,
that's just shit that you got to know, man. And
with
and
Spalletti
doing that
there
in,
too,
in such
man.
A delicate part of the game and delicate part of the season, that's like Golini better be ready. You know, if I'm the coach, I would have taken him out right there. Like I know it might be reactionary. I get it. I know it sounds reactionary, but
no,
this is shit that just can't fly anymore, man. We allow these players to get away with so much, especially this year. I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of it.
And look, playing from the back, right? Playing from the back is a strategy that is enforced upon by the manager.
Right.
But that kind of blunder is not on management.
No. You know, it's 2024. You play out of the back, right? We don't just boot the ball up the field anymore. And that's the way soccer is. That's the way it's become, you know? But
as much as we do it, he should be a perfect, like, he should be
much better at it than he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
There's,
and with, like,
that
I said,
was
with
just
Spalletti,
that was
there
an
too?
Arrogance. That was, there was an arrogance to that, because it's like, I used to get him on him all the time, Husai. Remember Husai?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How limited he was. His Absolutely. First few seasons, he was not bad at all. Why? Because he just did, he put his head down and did what the f*** Sarri wanted him to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He just did what he did, and that was it. He didn't try to go over that or below that. He did what he needed to do, you know? Then once he started to think, oh, you know what? I had a few good seasons. Let me go up and try to shoot balls and put in whipped in crosses to nobody. Then I started getting on his case, and I hated him, you know? And everyone hated him on Napoli, Napoli fans, because of that, right? There's a certain maturity when it comes to playing at this level, and Meret just isn't there. He still isn't there, and it's infuriating. You know that you're limited in this aspect of your game. Why the hell are you trying passes like that?
Mind-boggling, Dan. Mind-boggling, because, you know, all the chances that we had and we could have put away, yes, we had them, and we could have been up 2-3-0, you know. But there's no excuse for how Medet played that ball. Not at all. And I will die on that hill. You know what I mean? And it's just annoying because we have such a good first half, and now it's become, you know, a level game again. And especially when we're continuing to take shots and shots, and Turati is now looking like he's going to get the call up instead of freaking Medet, right? Like, he's looking like a keeper that belongs in the Euro in Medet's spot. And you know, Spalletti is there watching it all unfold. So who knows? If I'm Spalletti, I'm not taking Medet to the Euro. I'm just
Oh, you can't.
It.
How the hell? There's so many other Italian. There's so many Italian goalkeepers right at this moment that deserve more than him.
What I'm saying is he's been selected every time. You know.
Yeah, he more than likely will get selected anyway, but
he shouldn't. He shouldn't.
Not. It's not based on merit at that point. I'll tell you that.
And like I said, Turati played so well in this game. He came up with that one save against Quada, also like a blistering shot from Quada.
Yeah.
Insane. Turati put it over the bar. Just crazy. But so what we did was, from that shot, we ended up scoring a goal off the corner. So we take a corner, it's cleared back to Quada, who's on the edge of the box, and he dips a sort of like a shot in, like he tried to shoot, but his strike going low, it hits the ground and it takes a funny bounce, and Osimhen is like perfect position to tap it in past Turati, like from like maybe 4 yards out, right? Mm-hmm. And it looked offside for a second, and I didn't, you know, basically saw Osimhen like not celebrate, and I don't know what that's about, you know. And that's another thing, I don't know if I want to make the excuse, but it was pretty hot in Naples. Like, you could see Politano, like, cooling himself off. He came off later on, you know, I think maybe from exhaustion, from the heat. They took multiple water breaks. Di Lorenzo was checked out by the end of the game. You know,
it was very, maybe he was very, very hot. I remember seeing on Twitter the past few days people complaining about how hot it was. Like, and, my friends and Naples, listen,
look, these guys are professionals, and it shouldn't be too much of a factor, but I can see why it was a factor. And, you know, at first I'm looking at these guys walking around like Di Lorenzo, just not making plays, you know. But at the same time, if he's that tired and hot, get yourself off the pitch. Like Politano said, I need the sub, right?
Right.
And Raspadori came on for him. But why is Mazzocchi not playing? We mentioned that last week. How come he's not playing? Why can't he come in to help out? You know what I mean? If Di Lorenzo's tired, let's go. You know, even though after Di Lorenzo made a few, you know, like questionable decisions out there, he put in a good service at the end of the game as well. But I'm just saying, like it was hot, and maybe that was a reason why Osimhen didn't really celebrate. He's also leaving in, like, the next six games. These are the final six games of him and Napoli. He's probably just kind of done with it. Or maybe he thought he was offside because he looked it. And then when, upon review, no offside, Napoli take the lead. And then freaking once again, Walid Khedira. This goal was beautiful. Zortea getting possession and playing an excellent 1-2 on the way down, and then sending a beautiful cross in to Khedira, who heads it. And this was, you know, this is much more of an acceptable goal against Medet because it was a great header.
No, Medet has no I don't know what word you would use there, but culpability for that goal.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah,
he's not culpable for the goal.
Yeah, he doesn't take responsibility for that one. But
you know who does? Responsible the defense for that freaking goal, right?
The defense, who's not freaking marking Rahmani, who's slow.
Rahmani had absolutely no idea what the hell was going on with around him at all times during that play. I don't know if you saw the replay. He doesn't see Khedira once until the ball's in the net.
Unbelievable.
It's absolutely astonishing. I don't know how. I get it. Maybe last season was the last few seasons with Rahmani.
He was kind of like
second fiddle to always to Koulibaly or Kim. So like he never really had to take responsibility. You know, he didn't have to mark a guy in the box all the time, right? Because Tanda just Koulibaly or Kim, Tanda Jibrianzis, you know what I mean? He's gonna worry about it. But now he's got to be the guy, the leader there, and he's just proven how mediocre of a player he is. I'm sorry, he's just mediocre.
Don't have to apologize for nothing, man. So Politano gets tired and wants to come out. Raspadori comes in. So does Kajusta for Zielinski. Kajusta right at the beginning looked pretty decent. He made a couple good moves, but really not impactful at the end of the day.
Weird substitution, by the way.
Yeah. Anguissa comes out for Simeone in the 85th minute to add attack to our repertoire. But this guy, Simeone, hasn't played maybe 100 minutes all season, man. Guy hasn't scored a goal since the end of September.
Yeah.
What is he going to do coming in the 85th minute? You know, I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to completely miss time a great low cross from Di Lorenzo to make it 3-2. I remember
that, yeah. That would have been the goal right there. Yeah.
Completely mistime it. Then you could see Mario Rui mouthing off to Okoli, fouls him afterwards. Gets a second yellow. He's off. Finish the game 2-2. Down 10 men. And going into a weekend where we have no Rahmani and no Mairi, but we also have no Juan Jesus and we have no Oliveira. So that's the issue. We'll get back to that in a second. Quickly, I'm going to run through the ratings here. Alex Medet, believe it or not, gets a 7.2, makes the error that led to the goal, but saves a penalty.
That is so ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is why I don't really jive with these ratings, because they don't take into account.
I don't jive with either. I do like how they like break down what the player has done. In the game.
Those statistics are really important, I think.
But they rely too heavily on like the events of the game. Like, okay, Medet made a penalty save. It was shot right to him.
But yeah, that's what I was going to say. But if he didn't make that save, what are we talking about here? Like it was a terrible penalty. Like now, if it was put in the corner and he still saved it, then I'd almost be, you know, okay.
Well, even on Fantacalcio, when a goal, you know, everyone starts off with a six, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you depending on what happens in the game, you go from there, right? Goalkeepers usually tend to cap at seven, right? He gave up two goals. He usually ends up with a four. But because of the penalty save, he ended up with a seven. I don't know how, and I have Napoli's goalkeepers. I cuffed the goalkeepers. I cuffed Meta and come si chiama? The backup.
Golini.
Yeah. So like if Meta doesn't play, Golini plays. But he got me 7 points. I'm looking at it like, is this right? Like, I know he saved a penalty, but come on, you know? But yeah, I mean, I guess 7.2, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Di Lorenzo with a 7.3, he gets an assist. Lost the most duels in the match, 9. Another perfect example of how the ratings should never be. Rahmani, a 6.4, completed the most passes in the match with 72, committed a foul leading to the penalty. Ostigard with a 6.6, not very much in the stats department, but he, I think, was by far the better center back of the game.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for him to play again next week. Mairi was the most fouled player in the match 4 times. He gets a 5.6. Obviously, the red card brought his score way down. Anguissa with a 6.9, had the most tackles in the match with 2. Lobotka, 6.9, nothing really to say, except he's one of the best players on the pitch, so I don't know how he gets a 6.9. 7.4 for Zielinski, which I thought was pretty fair. He did pretty well. I got to tell you what, this last surge from Zielinski, though it's too late and not going to get a lot of, you know, pity from people, I think is pretty cool to see. I'm still a Zielinski fan because of what he's brought to us, but I'm very upset with him. But he was the most accurate passer with 95% to play 45 minutes or more. Once again, he ends with a 7.4. Politano, the heavy hitters, man. Politano, 8.1. The goal in the first half. Osimhen, 7.5. The goal in the second half. And Kvaratskhelia with an 8.5 with the most dribbles of the match, 5. Most accurate passer, 95%. To play 45 or more, along with Zielinski, and won the most duels in the match, 8. So for me, player of the match for Napoli is Kvara. But the player of the match ended up going to Walid Khedira, 8.9, 2 goals, least touches, 20 of any outfield player to play 90 minutes. This guy touched the ball the least of anybody out there and scored 2 goals. Even though the first goal was a gimme goal, He still scored. And the second goal was phenomenal. I'm not going to get too... what'd you say?
What a shift. If you can just do nothing and score goals, I mean, why not?
Exactly.
You take it.
See, Matias Soleil gets an assist in that first goal and does miss the penalty, so his score is a 6-4. Another classic example of, you know, what the hell. Zotea was a big one with 8.0, created the most chances with 4, won the most duels with 8, got an assist, and then that big assist. And Turati, we should definitely mention Turati, 7.5. 6 saves, great saves too. Very impressed with his play today. How do you feel about the ratings here?
I think they're all fair. I wanted to touch upon what you said about Zielinski, and honestly, I am quite impressed with him lately. It does seem as though he kind of wants to leave a better memory or a better taste in the mouth of the fans when he leaves here. That's what I think is kind of going on here. I think he realizes that he's been really, really his reputation has been really tarnished for what's been going on this year. And you know, a guy that's been here for 8 years, you hate to see only like 6 months dictate what he's going to be looked at the way that he's going to be looked at for the rest of, you know, history. So I think it is nice to see him starting to finally pick it up again and be a leader again, the way he once was. That's really all I can say. I don't necessarily agree with that Meta rating. I think 7.2 is way too high for him today to have basically given away a goal. I think the Osimhen kind of only has a 70.5 because he scored that goal. That's pretty much it. He did nothing else today. So,
what about Wally Khedira? How did you like his performance for Frosinone?
Like I said before, I mean, he kind of did the cardio session today. He was just running around and then all of a sudden ended up with 2 goals, you know? He's a player he works hard. I don't see much of a future for him at Napoli anyway, but good for him for scoring the goals, especially in a stadium where he's probably going to be playing next season, unless we send him out on loan again. But I don't know. I don't see a future for him at Napoli unless if we want to be a Champions League team again. You know what I mean? If we're in 8th place, 9th place, then yeah, there probably is a future for him. But it all depends on what we're willing to do or we're willing to sacrifice in the summer to get back to where we should be.
Well, I don't see him being the starting striker by any means, but I could see him playing backup. At the same time, he might want playing time. You know, he was a bench guy for Morocco at the World Cup. And he might want more playing time to get himself, you know, prime into that national team still, right? And we'll see what happens. I would like to also touch on, like we were talking about before, the laziness of half this team that we have. And, like, versus the absolute beasts that we have. So, like, Anguissa for me, little lazy. Rachmani for me, pretty terrible. Di Lorenzo, lazy as the match went on. Could it be fatigue? Probably. Could it be just defeat? Probably. Medet, mentally lazy. But Lobotka, a soldier, you know, a beast. Zielinski beasted out today. Kvara, always a beast. Politano gives his all, even if it sucks sometimes. Osimhen, except for like most of the game today, you know, always puts in his 100%. Raspadori comes on from the bench and just like is a spitfire, you know. At some point, and I probably will get to this at the end of the season, I'd like to do an end of the season sort of wrap up thing where we look into our players out on loan and see if they're worth bringing back in. And then our roster as it is now and seeing who stays, who goes. I think that's something that is a big talking point, and it was touched upon in on X today for a little bit in my feed. And I think at the end of the season, when all is said and done, we know where we're at. And we maybe even know something about, you know, whoever our new manager is going to be, Conte. Hopefully. You know, given rumors of people coming in and out, I'd love to go through the list with you and see who you would keep and who you would get rid of. But as of now, with that abandoned Roma match and this draw for us, we still sit 6 points out of fifth place. That's considering the Roma game. If the Roma game is not played further and it ends a 1-1, that'll go to 7 back. But then also Atalanta play tomorrow. Today, if you guys are listening, because I'll probably be posting it today, Monday, this show. Atalanta play against Verona. That'll take care of one of their games in hand. Then they still have that game in hand to play against Fiorentina the day Joe Barone passed away. But right now we sit in 8th place, tied with Lazio on 49 points, just 1 point behind Atalanta. And Torino is at 45 points, 4 points behind us in 9th. So top 8 is probable. Top 8 is most likely what we're going to get. Bologna tied again 0-0 this week. Can we definitively say that the Champions League is out the question?
I mean, I was ready to say that. I think I did say it right after the Atalanta game. I think that was the final nail in the coffin. I don't think these guys can consistently put it in anymore. When you lose to a team that's in fifth that badly, you know, it's kind of mentally, it screws you in the, it screws you up mentally, you know?
What's going on?
We could win every
home,
game. I'm not saying that we can't win the rest of our games. Obviously, I know that, and we've mentioned plenty of times before, you know, there's the games that, you know, Bologna we have to play against, Roma we have to play against, they have to play against each other. You know, there's teams that are going to lose points in front of us, you know?
Yes.
But at the same time, we're tying Frosinone in a
and we're not winning
where
more
we have
than two games in a row. We can't win.
We can't win two games in a row, right?
We've only won two games in a row, three different times this season, against Frosinone and Sassuolo to start, right? Then there was that, I think it was in October or something like that, where we beat Udinese and I think it was Monza.
No, because we tied Monza 0-0 the first time. That was like December 29th or something like that, if I remember correctly. I'll look for it right now, actually.
Well, the Monza tie was on the 29th?
Yeah, it was like December 29th. Oh, we did Sassuolo. We beat Sassuolo, and then we beat Juve. That was two games in a row.
Sassuolo, Juve. That's right. Well, that was the last time we did it.
Are you talking about all comps or just
Serie A? No, I'm
talking
about Serie A.
Just Serie A. Okay.
It was Udinese and Lecce. It was Udinese in September. Lecce, right? I remember because I was coaching and I had the Udinese game on or the Lecce game actually, as I was coaching, and it was 4-1 against Udinese, Lecce 4-0 in Lecce, and that was still the Rudy Garcia days. So twice we did it under Rudy Garcia, and then once with Calzona, where we beat Sassuolo and Juventus, and that's it. Like we can't string three straight wins together. How could we possibly do it against Empoli, Roma, Udinese, who was leading Roma today? Bologna, forget it. You know, honestly, okay, let's take a look at these next six fixtures, right? There's six games left. 18 points to play for, right? We have 49. What does that give us if we were to win out, right? 57.
Yeah.
We would get, right? Am I right? No. 67 points. 67. 60,
yeah.
67. So 67 points, if we had 67 now, we'd be in fourth. Juve have 63. So 59. 69. So, yeah. So we essentially need to win out. Like, the only time we can afford to drop points is if Roma or Bologna drop points. And I can see us having problems against Empoli, because Empoli are really, really doing a good job in trying to stay out of that relegation zone, even though they lost to Torino this week. Or was it Lecce this week? Lecce. Then there's Roma at home. We suck at home. But if Roma beat Milan on Thursday, it's Europe. And there's a trend, dude, that when a team plays, like, there's certain teams that play in European competition that suck in the league the week before or after.
Yeah.
Roma's understandable. One of them. Milan had to come from behind today against Sassuolo, down 3-1 to come back to win to draw a level 3-3. Roma was down and had to chase the game against Udinese. Like, if Roma make it to the semifinal of the Europa League, they will have to play. I believe they have to play. I want to say one of the games is right after our game. I could be wrong. But that's just another thing on the mind for Roma, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I say we could beat Empoli. I say we draw Roma. Udinese-Napoli. We could definitely do it. It's on the road. Napoli-Bologna. Bologna, as of late, you know, that's twice in a row, no goals. Nil nils, but they're still really good and they're better than us, and we're home and we suck at home. So, you know, by then they may have Champions League automatically wrapped up. So who knows? Fiorentina has not been good at all lately, so maybe we can get a win there. I could see us getting, you know, 3, 4, 7, 10 13 points out of the next 18, which might not be enough, but it's also not 3 wins in a row, you know? So I don't know, right, man. It's really an anomaly this season, isn't it?
I hate to admit it, and I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going with this, but I've pretty much given up on Champions League for a while now. But I mean,
yeah.
But then again, I find myself doing what we're doing now, and I'm like, if we win this, 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 and this, like, we're going to get it. You know what I mean? So, like, my fandom comes out, you know? I lose all the ability to have a rational thought, and I think with my heart, because I love this damn team too much, and they affect me. So, I can't wait for this to be over. Honestly, I really can't.
It's unbelievable how we go from the highest of highs of last season to wanting the season to be over now, right? It's just crazy.
I just want us to be able to restart this, you know what I mean? Because we completely messed up the season, fine, whatever. But now we have to do it again. Now we have to fix this all now. And we can't obviously fix it right now. So that we're in that limbo period of, we know we have to fix it, but we can't still. You know what I mean? And that's such a frustrating place to be as a fan. Because you have nothing, you can't do anything about it, obviously. We have no power to make a decision for these guys, of course. You know?
Right. Right, man. I get that. Well, it looks like after all, we will not be in the Champions League. I mean, I said it today on Twitter. Like, I give us a 5% chance to make the Champions League, but that's even like giving us, you know, kind of being generous. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Nothing is 0% until it's 0%. Like, that's how I see it, right? You know, this team could go on a tear, win the next 6 games, and end up, you know, in the Champions League. The percentage is low. The probability is low, but is it possible? It's possible, but it's not probable, right? And a lot of people hate on me for that. Like, I'm going to keep the faith, but I also try to be a little realistic when I say, giving them 5% chance, you know? That's a 95% chance we don't. But I've had some time to think about whether it's a good idea to skip out on Europe altogether or not. I'm not going to subscribe to the skipping out on Europe, man. Like, you know, a reset does kind of intrigue me, you know, where we only have to play Serie A and Coppa Italia, especially if Conte comes in. The fact that we don't make the Champions League, but we're still making money on sales. The fact that we're not in the Champions League, but we'll attract good players because of who we bring in to manage. It does intrigue me, but I'd much rather be in either Europa or Conference. And that's either Europa or Conference. I'll take either one. I want something from this season. I want something to look forward to from this season, you know?
Yeah.
Give me something.
I completely get what you're saying. I mean, obviously, I'd very much hope that we're playing in the Europa League other than the Conference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I guess if we're in the Conference League, we could make a run for that. But even then, it's
exactly.
Like, I don't have any confidence in this team right now to be able to do that and not bottle it. So we always seem to come up short, and it's so frustrating.
Exactly. All right, buddy. We're going to head on out, unless there's anything else that you wanted to talk about. Our next game is against Empoli, and that is... when is that game? Just checking Napoli.
We've got that game
Saturday the 29th. That Saturday, yep. The 20th. Saturday 20th, 12 noon. So Saturday 12 o'clock against Empoli. It's gonna be a dogfight. We're not gonna have. Like I mentioned earlier, we're not going to have Mario Rui. We're not going to have Rachmani. We don't have Juan Jesus. We don't have Oliveira. So what? I guess we'll close with this. What's the lineup looking like against Empoli? What are you thinking we're going to go with back there?
Well, I mean, obviously, I really would have liked Di Lorenzo to be on the bench, but of course he can't. So it's going to definitely be Di Lorenzo at right back. Medet probably is going to still play, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really hoping Calzona surprises us and puts Nathan and Ostigard as the center backs.
Do you think this is a situation where we play a 3-man defense again? Because we have quite a bit of an issue back there, right? Or would Calzona consider moving Di Lorenzo to the left and playing Mazzocchi on the right?
Well, Mazzocchi could play on the left too.
He could play on the left too. Yeah.
So
okay,
I think that would be more of the more along the lines of what Calzona is going to be thinking.
Di Lorenzo, Nathan, Ostigard.
But is Jesus even going to be back for that or no?
Well,
he probably won't.
The timeline is sketchy. It's his sciatic nerve, so he could be back. But Juan Jesus and Ostigard together, I don't know. I mean, I would much rather put Natan there.
I mean, why can't this kid play? Why haven't we seen him at all? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It just is. It's so frustrating because, you know, we've given this kid no faith. And he was the replacement for Kim and Jae, you know?
I mean, he had maybe like two mistakes leading up to that injury.
I thought he was really good, man.
Yeah, and there's guys that are making mistakes continuously every single game, costing us goals, and they're playing every game as if, you know, they're guaranteed to play.
You want me to be honest with you? And I guess I'll touch on this now. I know I said I wanted to wait to the end of the season. But if we were to get a really quality center back in, I'd like for him to play opposite Natan. Like, I'd like for it to be Natan and said, you know,
yeah,
world-class center back. Because I think Natan could learn so much from, I think Natan could play that role of Rahmani from last season with Kim, but, like, really, like, kind of, you know, gain a lot more experience in that role. I think Natan's going to be a great, great center back at some point soon. You know, soon.
I agree.
But he needs a chance to play. He's got, and maybe we see it now. Maybe we see it. Yeah. But all right, man. So we'll be back next week. If anything crazy happens, we'll come on and get in midweek. Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, there's nothing much else to say.
Nothing you want to add?
No, I'm good. I'm good, man. I just there's five games left, and or how many games? No, there's actually more.
Six games left, right?
Yeah. Can't wait for the end of the season. That's all I can say.
It's still must see TV, right, man? Like we've got to. It is. We still have to tune in. It's not like
this Champions League race, you know, for that fifth spot. It's gonna be huge in Serie A. I think there's a few teams that still can get it, but I think that's pretty much it for the season. There's really nothing else to look forward to. So
it's just mind-boggling how in a season where fifth place is 99.7% guaranteed to be a Champions League spot, and it's maybe the third time in the last 15 years we finish outside of top five.
Yep.
It just blows my freaking mind. Atalanta destroyed Liverpool on Thursday, didn't they? We didn't talk about that.
I love the way they play. I've always loved the way Atalanta play. You know, I got Liverpool fans in my you know, friend group, guys that I play with at school, and they're trying to say, oh, we dominated this game and we're losing 3-0. Look at this. I'm like, dude, no, you did not. You think Atalanta went there and wanted the ball? This is Atalanta, no, even at their home stadium, doesn't want the ball. They play counterattack. You know what I mean?
People that don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, they watch exactly one thing. They, you know, when you
if you think you're dominating Atalanta, that's where they're gonna kill you. That's what I'll tell. That's what I tell people. You know.
Also, the disrespect that Klopp gave to Italian football.
Oh yeah. Even though he has a terrible record against Italian teams, he does. Absolutely pulverized against.
It's
Italian
funny. He admitted it too. He said, "Me coaching Serie A." He goes, "The only thing I know about Italy is the food." Clearly, you don't know how to beat an Italian team,
right?
It's insane. It's just they got the floor mopped with them, and then again today, no goals at home, lost to Crystal Palace. I'll never forget ESPN FC listening to them after the games. And hearing that Liverpool was going to wipe the floor with Crystal Palace at Anfield, and they couldn't even score again. I think Atalanta snapped a 35-game consecutive home streak of wins, and then Palace snapped a 28 consecutive league home wins. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Atalanta, one foot in the semifinal. You know, you got either Milan or Roma going in the other semifinal. Leverkusen, more like never losing.
For real, man. They used to be called Neverkusen, too.
Yeah, they used to be called from Neverkusen to never losing. Levermeister, I guess. I don't know.
Leibermeister, yeah. Leibermeister's a champion.
Right. They'll be in the other semifinal. It'll probably be, well, so it'll be Leverkusen with either Roma or Milan. And then it looks like Atalanta, I mean, against probably Benfica. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. I do love, you know, no matter who's in it, I love this stretch of football where you come to the end of these European tournaments. No matter who's in it, I don't care. It's a lot of fun. So hopefully it's us next year. We'll see. All right, brother. We'll get back soon. Until next time, everybody, thank you for listening. I appreciate you guys tuning in after such a terrible result, after a pretty decent performance. But hang in there. 6 more games left. As always, Forza Napoli.
Sempre.
Ciao, ciao. Oh,